Today's scripture passage is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to have a video now.
Before we knew hope, there was only existing, languishing, scrambling to find security and build stability. Just make it to tomorrow, we'd tell ourselves. Even still, we knew we were but vapor in the wind. Yet something made us hang on. Why did we think we had a chance? It came first from the lips of ancient prophets. Whispers. Rumors. Someone was coming, the kings and poets claimed. A redeemer who lives, one said. Someone to save us all. People talked, events foreshadowed. Who was this who stirred so much hope? What business did we have in hoping at all? We lived troubled lives, caused much of it ourselves. That was our story, wasn't it? Live only to die in the end. Then, in the dead of night, under an extraordinary star, a child is born to us. A son is given to us, and hope is no longer a rumor or whisper or disappearing shadow. Hope is born.
Hope is born. It's our theme for today, is the subject of hope. And the Christmas season is finally here, right? Even weather decided to, done with fall, winter all of a sudden show up, and no hope of fall returning. And we're in it. It's begun. And we can see and hear the evidence of the fact that we're in this season all around us. And so good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you as we begin this new sermon series on the heart of Christmas, where we're looking at the four main themes that we find at Advent. And the holiday season, with all its tinsel and the trees and the treats and the presents, all those things can easily distract us from what really matters, which is the Christ child. So during this series, we're going to look at how hope, peace, joy, and love are all at the heart of Christmas. And this morning, we'll discover the hope that comes to us through the birth of Jesus. And I'm sure that we could all use a little extra hope at this time of year. And so we can learn a lot, really, about hope by watching the way children embrace the Christmas time. Nothing says hope like Christmas lists that kids write down during the season. I don't know, do you have this tradition at your house where your kids or your grandkids, they make their lists and of the things that they'd like to have for Christmas? You know, it's one of the favorite things that my kids like to do each year. And as I think about my own time, as when I was a kid and making a list, I remember it all started the day the Sears catalog showed up in the mail. Anybody remember that thick old catalog with all the pictures of things that you didn't know existed, so you didn't want until you saw them? It was like, oh, I got to have that. And so I remember each year when the Sears Christmas Wish Book would show up in the mail, and I'd look at every single page. And when I got to the toys section, I'd take a pen and I'd circle each one that looked interesting to me. And at the time, I didn't know what was an inexpensive ask and what was an extravagant ask. I just simply circled away. You know, my theory was the more options I gave my parents, the more likelihood I'd actually get something that I actually wanted. And so that hope, it fueled my excitement all the way up to Christmas morning. But of course, the true reason there's hope at the heart of Christmas is not because of the gifts, but because of the birth of Jesus Christ. His arrival on this earth was the fulfillment of a prophecy spoken hundreds of years ago. That prophecy is one of the most well-known scripture passages shared during this time of year. And so the prophet Isaiah, he writes one of the classics of all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming birth of Christ. And the passage he writes, it was born of gloom and darkness. The world had felt the whole full weight of sin, and it had wreaked havoc on all of creation. And what Isaiah offered in chapter 9 was something the Jewish people really needed more than anything else. And that was hope. Hope that one day someone would come to make all things right and restore all that was broken. The birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of that hope. And it offers hope for us today. Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7, it says this, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its peoples will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the ardent army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. There'll be fuel for the fire." And then here's the verse. Verse 6, "For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." I love that title for God, the Lord of Heaven's armies. And so the backdrop of Isaiah's writings, which we think were somewhere around 740 BC, was poor leadership. The people of Israel had been suffering through the reigns of three ungodly kings, Uzziah and Jotham and especially Ahaz. They were corrupt and had led the people far from God. It was a very dark time in history. Isaiah wrote these words knowing God would have to intervene to bring Israel back to himself. The kingdom was crumbling and the people needed hope. And this passage from Isaiah makes two major statements. The first one is just an acknowledgement of the brokenness and the darkness that surrounded Israel due to sin and corruption. But then the second is a hope of a dawning light through the birth of a child who would one day make all things right. The Jewish people in the Old Testament needed these words to remind them that God had not forgotten about them. And that he was still in control. God had a plan. The book of Matthew also reminds us of Isaiah's writings. The apostle Matthew was making the connection between what Isaiah had prophetically written and what had taken place in a manger in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, it says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. And so you've got this young Jewish man named Joseph who's presented with a really difficult decision to make. He was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary, but now he finds out that she's pregnant and he knows this isn't his child. And so Joseph planned to call the wedding off because it appeared his bride-to-be had been unfaithful. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to go forward with the marriage because the child in her womb was from the Holy Spirit. And all of these events that just took place to fulfill the prophecies from the Old Testament, which claimed there'd be this child that was going to be born to a virgin as a light in the darkness and a hope for all people. And that child would be named Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And this brings me to our first point, that the presence of darkness has a tendency to threaten our hope. Maybe you found that to be true in your life, when some dark times just kind of tried to steal all the hope that you had inside of you. The center of the Christmas story is focus squarely on the birth of Jesus. He is the fulfillment of Israelites' hope that God would push back the darkness and it would shine a bright light into the world. And one of the reasons Christmas resonates in our hearts is because we live in a world that is similar to Israel's. Our world is dark and corrupt because of the sin that so eagerly entangles. And there is war, and there's disease, and conflict, and oppression, and brokenness all around us. We find sinful choices and attitudes just everywhere. In the music, on the radio, and the TV shows, and at the movies, and conversations with coworkers and neighbors, on billboards and other forms of advertisement. We, too, are in need of a Christ child to usher in a light to push back the darkness that's around us. Christmas is a reminder that whatever it is that we hope for in our lives, whether it's healing, whether we're hoping for restoration of a relationship that's broken, whether it's forgiveness, maybe it's a fresh start, that it's available to us through Emmanuel, who is God with us. You see, hope is not the absence of conflict, the absence of difficulties or struggles or trials. Hope is the result of the presence of God. And so let me just say that again so we can get that in our mind. Hope is not the result of getting rid of all the stuff that brings conflict and difficulty and struggles and trials in our life. Hope is the result of the promise, the presence of God right in the midst of us as we're going through those things. So see, though the presence of darkness has this tendency to threaten our hope, God's presence has come to this earth to give us real, lasting hope. But the hard part about hope is that it often takes a lot longer to obtain than what we hoped for and than what we would like it to take. You know, just as the Jewish people experienced, hope requires patience. And patience is not something we're particularly good at. Thinking about needing patience, A common plant that grows in the southwest desert of the United States is called the Agave Americana. It's also known as the century plant. Maybe you've heard of it before. This plant thrives in rocky, dry, and mountainous desert locations and makes leaves that grow to be about a foot wide. The plant, it can reach 12 feet in diameter, so it's a big plant, and it grows up to about 6 feet tall. Perhaps it's the most unusual trait is its long reproduction cycle. For 20 to 30 years, this plant remains the same height and produces no flowers. But suddenly, without warning, a new bud will sprout. Resembling a tree trunk-sized asparagus spear, it will rise up into the sky at a rate of about 7 inches a day until it reaches a height of 20 to 30 to 40 feet. Then it finishes with a crown of several clumps of yellow blossoms that last for 3 weeks. So similar to the century plant, some of the greatest answers to our hoping and longing take time and patience in order to see the beauty unfold. As you think about your life, you could probably think of something that you had to hope for a long time before it happened, and there are probably things that you're still hoping for that are not yet here. Isaiah saw that one day in the future, God would bring a great light and salvation through the birth of a child. And you would think if God shared this exciting news with Isaiah to share with the rest of the world, that maybe this child might be born in his lifetime. But and if it wasn't born in his lifetime, then you'd expect, well, maybe he'd be born at least within 100 years of his lifetime. But it wasn't until over 700 years when Matthew recorded Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Jesus is the very presence of God on earth. He came to give his life so that we would be offered the ability to have the forgiveness of our sin and the destruction of evil in our life and the promise of eternal life. So have you ever read through the book of Isaiah? It's a book in the Old Testament. It is a little bit of a longer book, but it's one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Now, there are some chapters you kind of have to skim through because it's about the judgment of various people groups that lived in Isaiah's time. But the book of Isaiah has some of the most beautiful descriptions in all the Bible. So why do we read Isaiah's prophecy each year during Christmas? It's because seeing the faithfulness of God in the past, it gives us deep and abiding hope in the present. And it gives us an unwavering trust for the future. The Apostle Paul made an appeal for hope to those who trust in Jesus as he wrote a letter to the early church in Rome. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, it says this, such things, these prophecies he's talking about, were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Paul says that everything that has been written in the past, all those prophecies and its fulfillment, is meant to teach us how to hold on to faith in God to answer our prayers. What has been written gives us endurance. It gives us encouragement that we might have hope. And so it's important for us to revisit the prophetic words of the Old Testament and the fulfillment that comes through the birth of Jesus, because it reminds us that God can be trusted to come through and meet us in our greatest time of need. And so here's our challenge today, is that our culture has a truth crisis. It's probably the greatest crisis of truth that has ever happened in the history of the world. Our faith and the truthfulness of those who are in authority over us had been stretched pretty thin before COVID came around. And now on the other side of it, and just a torrent of misinformation that was out there during this time, for whatever the reasons were that it was said, had just caused people's trust in our media and in government and in the health department and even in our police force to be at a historic all-time low. Then you take that challenge with this arrival of the technology of AI, where you can mimic anyone's voice and make what seems like someone you've known all your life say something that they didn't say. And they could take video and make that video do anything they want to, and you think it's the real thing, but it's all created. You can manipulate anything to sound or look like anything you want, and anyone can do it with a few dollars and a little knowledge and the right apps to do it. We have a terrible truth crisis. Our community needs more than ever to have something that they can trust. Fulfilled prophecy helps us to understand that the one thing we can trust is God and His Word. And trust gives us hope, true hope. Though the presence of darkness has this tendency to threaten our hope, God's presence has come down to this earth to give us real, lasting hope. And at the heart of Christmas is that hope. Though there are many distractions that we have during the Christmas season, this message is a reminder that hope is offered to us through Jesus' arrival in the manger. Dr. James Dobson, he's the founder of the ministry Focus on the Family, and he related a story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died a few months prior through a slow developing cancer. And several days before Christmas, she was almost, just snowed in by this brutal weather system. And she felt terribly alone. So much so that she decided she wasn't going to decorate for Christmas that year. Later that afternoon, the doorbell rang. And there was a delivery person with a box. And he said, "Mrs. Thornhope, would you sign here?" And she invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold. And she signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap. And inside was a little golden Labrador retriever. The delivery guy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from his captivity. "Well, who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she again asked, "Well, who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened the letter from her husband, and he had written it 3 weeks before he had died, and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would rejoin him in heaven, and he had sent this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears and put the letter down and then remembered the puppy at her feet, and so she picked up that golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the amazing sensation of hope washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than grief and loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me, but you know what? There's a box down in the basement I bet you would like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and lights that are really going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it. Our God is always right on time. And He knows exactly what we need, and He can be trusted to reveal the light of Christ in order to push back the darkness in our lives. In a land that's full of deep darkness, a light has indeed dawned. So I just want to invite you this morning to express your hope in God by bringing Him the things that weigh heavy on your heart. Those things that you're hoping for but haven't come to be. And so I'm going to begin a prayer time together and then offer you this moment of silence where you can just talk to God. Talk to Him about your hopes. Talk to Him about your needs, about the things that you're struggling with. Give them to Him and hold on to that hope that He's working on these things. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, so good to be in Your presence, to know how much You deeply care about us, how much You love us. And so we come to You this morning, some of us in need of some hope. Hope that You're faithful and have provided all that we need by sending Your Son Jesus to us. We ask that the light of this life would shine into our lives, and that You would lift up our heads. We offer to You now the areas of our lives where we need Your presence, maybe now more than ever before. Go ahead and talk to God and just lift them up to Him. Father, we trust You today with our very lives. And we look forward to seeing how You're going to work in our lives. These challenges that we have, these things that we hope for, these wounds that are yet to be healed, and these needs that are yet to be met. Thank You for the hope that can only come from You. Thank You for showing us the heart of Christmas. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.